For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We bring in Scott Petrak from BrownZone.com now to join us on the Kenny and JT Show. Happy Friday, Scotty. How you doing, brother?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. You know, I guess to get into this thing, and like I mentioned, the news never ends with the Cleveland Browns. Deshaun Watson again making news, saying that he'll be ready for the start of the season. What do you take out of that? And have you had a chance to speak to him?
Yeah, I was there yesterday.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we're looking for updates, right? That's the biggest question facing this team, is if their starting quarterback's going to be healthy and able to throw coming off that right shoulder surgery. So he's been throwing for, you know, it is mid-March, so let's call it, whatever, 3 weeks he's been throwing. I'm sure it's not full speed, but he said it's coming along well. He goes, they got to be careful not to go too fast. Pay attention to doctors, pay attention to the physiotherapists, you know, the athletic trainers, everybody. But he's encouraged by the progress, and he said for sure he'll be ready for week one, and he expects to be better than he has been in previous week one. So, you know, obviously there's a long way to go. He's still got to throw it 100%, all those things, right? But it's as good a news, I think, as the Browns and their fans could hope to hear.
Scott, the level of that injury that he sustained to his shoulder, have we seen that anywhere else in the league at any point in time from another quarterback?
Well, here's the thing. You haven't seen – it's hard to find anything identical to what he had, but it's a broken bone inside the socket,
right?
The glenoid bone. So it's unusual. It's rare for an NFL quarterback. I don't know if it's any worse than like a torn rotator cuff, right? Guys go through that. You remember when he left the Chargers, he couldn't get a contract. Miami wouldn't pass him on the physical, goes to New Orleans, and the rest is history.
Right.
But quarterbacks have had, I think, worse shoulder injuries, right? I mean, Watson had the surgery in November. You know, he's at least doing some throwing in April. So from that perspective, I don't think it's, and the Browns certainly don't think it's anything that you can't come back from. It's just unusual.
You know, when you go back, and we expected, I think, maybe a little bit more. I don't know if expectations were too high. I think you expected what you thought you were going to get when you saw what he did in Houston. And I saw this online the other day, the trade revisited, and Deshaun Watson and the Browns also got a fifth-round pick in 2024, which I believe that ends up being part of the Stephon Diggs deal for the Texans?
Yeah, I'll take your word on that one. I did not. I mean, I know they gave up a fifth.
Okay.
I'm trying to think of that. They did give up. Both picks they traded were not their own, so that makes sense that it was Houston's trade. Because the Browns sent six picks to Houston and got one back. So it wound up being a net five, three of which were first-rounders, the last of which will be 3 weeks from now.
Because if Diggs has any level of success with the Texans, you might keep looking at this trade unfavorably. So apparently, I mean, is this a make-or-break season for Deshaun Watson and the Browns?
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, the Diggs thing is interesting. That's that trade by itself.
It's right.
A weird one, right? But, yeah, I'm leaning toward make or break, right? I don't like to go over the top and exaggerate. But, you know, it's a five-year deal. This is the mid-year of that deal.
Right.
At the end of the season, if it continues to be a five-year deal and they don't extend him, which, you know, the Browns plan, every time Andrew Berry talks, or a lot of times he talks, it's, hey, we didn't get Deshaun Watson for just 5 years. You know, they plan to have him for a decade. And if you view it like that, then, you know, the first 2 years is obviously a much smaller percentage. But let's say he can't stay on the field. Let's say he struggles. Just whatever happens this year where it's not a success for Watson. Then you're 60% into this deal, and he's yet to pay it off, right? It's been a bad deal. He's yet to live up to the expectations, yet to live up to the draft picks you gave up, yet to live up to the contract the team gave him, right? So so I think you could look at it after 3 years and go, hey, maybe this isn't working and the Browns need to do something else. And we've seen then, you know, because there's so much of it is, well, you can't give up on him, you owe him so much money. And part of that's true if you like him and if you still have confidence. Mm-hmm. But Denver gave up on Russell Wilson with a bunch of dead cap money, right? The Bills give up on Stephon Diggs with a bunch of dead cap money. So I feel like this could be a tipping point if things continue to go the wrong way.
Scott Petrak, our guest right now, weekly segment on from BrownZone.com. We're talking Browns, obviously, like we always do, because the season never really ends. We know that we've got the NFL draft right around the corner on the 25th. And a lot of times, no matter whether you look at social media and other locations, but when you really want the real everything on the Browns, you got to go to BrownZone.com. But when we talk about the draft and the Browns don't have a pick till the second day in the second round, one of the things that we're seeing is they may be interested in this Joe Milton, a quarterback from Tennessee. And if that's the case, it leads me back into, if we're even considering another quarterback, and this quarterback room seemingly, in my opinion, is kind of full right now, are we looking at quarterback just because the Pittsburgh Steelers have redone their entire quarterback room in one fell swoop?
I don't think that's connected, JT, and I think you have to be careful reading too much into these visits. Some of them are because the Browns are real interested, right, or whatever team brings in a guy. Some of them are for down the road. Some of them for you find the guy interesting, or there's guys on his team, right? There's a million reasons why you lose one of your 30 visits. You get 30 guys allowed to come into Berea. There's a million reasons why you use those. And obviously there's some level of interest that the Browns have in Milton, right? I don't know what that is. I have a hard time thinking they're going to draft a quarterback in two straight years. If they do, it would mean, to me, it would mean they've kind of given up on Dorian Thompson-Robinson, right? Because they drafted him to be the backup. And they obviously don't feel he's ready to be the number two this year, which is why they went out and got Jameis Winston. Mm-hmm. And perhaps that's why they got Tyler Huntley too, right? Mm-hmm. But if they drafted a guy, because they're not going to draft a guy high, they're committed to Watson. So if they drafted another guy in the third day, like they did with DTR, to me that means they've given up on DTR. And I don't think they're ready to say that, but I could be wrong.
They hold still there at, what is it, number 54. What do you think the biggest need in this draft is if they stay there at their first pick in the second round?
Yeah, it's hard. They don't have any pressing needs. I think they could use one more D tackle. I don't think it's a need. I think they have volume there. But I like the idea of adding could be an impact player at D tackle at 54, and I think there'd be some intriguing candidates there. I think they need a number two tight end. I don't know if 54 is too high to take a number two tight end, right? You know, I saw ESPN mock draft today I was looking at, and they had him taking a running back out of Florida State. And my initial reaction was, why would they take a running back at 54, right? You hope Nick Chubb comes back. You have Ford. You signed Dante Foreman. But if there's huge questions about Nick Chubb, right, even from a contract standpoint, from a future standpoint, given the injuries, if you think that the running back is the best guy at 54 and he could be the first running back off the board, would that be worth it? So it's interesting. I think the fact that they don't have any pressing needs means they could go just about anywhere.
See, I like the idea of a running back, and I was called out for it last week, and the reason is just like you just said. If he's the first running back taken off the board and everybody else is devaluing the position, then I say if we don't have a first-round pick, take that best player available, and if it just happens to be a running back, so be it.
Yeah, it's interesting, and I'm sure I probably dismissed it if you asked me about it last week, because my reaction when I looked at the mock draft today was, that doesn't make sense to me. And part of that is because then it creates some issues with Nick Chubb, right? Like, okay, if you draft a guy, then are you telling Chubb, even if you're healthy, you're only good for 2024 and we're not going to keep you past 2024, right? And I don't know if you do that to Chubb. I don't think the Browns want to do that. But it's a cold, hard business, so maybe they would do that. You could explain it away as, hey, this is the best guy.
Right.
We'll figure it out. We could trade him a year from now. So I wouldn't put it past them, but I hadn't given it much thought until, you know, last week or so.
Scotty, if he wasn't such a fan favorite, you wouldn't think twice about it, though, if you had somebody on the back burner, you get him on a rookie deal, would you?
No, I think fan favorite's part of it, and I also think it goes beyond that, too. He is, an organizational favorite. He's a coach favorite. He's a locker room favorite. So I just don't think you cast off the guy who's arguably your best player, your hardest worker, heart and soul, all those things, right? So I know there's a real-world element to this and a financial and salary cap. All those things matter. But I think you want to be careful with Nick Chubb. And if they drafted a guy, if they drafted a running back at 54, they would have to manage the story, right?
Okay.
And have a good message about Nick Chubb's future, like, right away.
Talking Browns football with Scott Petrak from BrownZone.com. Follow him on X at Scott Petrak. Scotty, last week we asked you about the Browns possibly playing in Brazil. Any word on whether or not the Browns are going to play the Eagles in Brazil or no?
There's no word yet, and I thought we'd have it at the end of last week.
Mm-hmm.
Roger Goodell, I think it was last Tuesday or Wednesday, at the league meeting said, within the week we'll have that, and there's no announcement yet. So I checked with somebody yesterday afternoon who said they hadn't heard yet. Somebody with a team, right? So
yeah.
I don't know why it's dragging out. You know, are they is Green Bay putting up a fight like Green Bay doesn't want to go?
Yeah.
You know, because it's down to the Browns and Green Bay. I know the Browns are willing to go. So, you know, it kind of feels like they're trying to make it work with Green Bay, and maybe it's taking longer than expected.
Well, obviously, they must have them on their schedule too, right?
Well, yeah.
At some point in time. So it'll be interesting to see whether or not they make that move. And has there been any other discussions on the new stadium or the renovations or movement or anything like that?
Well, I mean, it was, you know, all the days spun together, but I'm pretty sure it was this week where one of the councilmen came out and he brought up the Art Modell law that was passed in 96 or added to the state, whatever, state law.
Right.
That you can't move a team from its city without the city's approval, or you have to allow the local people to buy it, right? And it was invoked when the Crew wanted to move, and the Haslams wound up stepping in and buying the Crew, and the previous owners were awarded an expansion team in Texas. So instead of moving the Crew, Mike DeWine, in his previous role, stepped in, and the Haslams bought the Crew, and it was because of this, they cited this, the Art Modell law, you know, and I don't think that's the official name of the law, but you get it. The question with the Browns is, there's two things. One, the lease runs out in 2028, so are you still bound to... Because it's tax dollars involved. If you're playing in a stadium where taxes are involved, then that keeps the ownership, the team tied to the city. But what if the lease runs out? I don't know if that's an issue here. The other part is, does it really count as moving out of the city if you go from Cleveland to Brook Park? And I think the Haslams would probably fight that if it gets to the point where they decide they want to go to Brook Park. So, you know, it's all these things swirling around. There's been, you know, there's no resolution to anything. I think it just shows that the negotiations between the Browns and the city, I don't think it has been as smooth as probably both sides would want, which has created the Brook Park alternative and probably delay in having a final decision made.
Do you think there's a timeline where they want to make a decision or want the fans to know that, hey, we're either moving, we're rebuilding, we're renovating? Is there a timeline on any of this, in your opinion?
Yeah, well, I think they want to know by the end of the year.
Okay.
It doesn't mean it will happen by then.
Okay.
Right? And the Haslams mentioned at the league meetings that, yeah, the lease is through 2028, but you could extend it, right? So if there's not resolution, if it takes longer to renovate, or renovation wouldn't be an issue because you just extend the lease, right? But or theoretically. But if you want to move to Brook Park, it takes longer to move or build a dome, you could extend the lease at the current site. But I, you know, I mean, all this stuff takes time, right?
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to renovate for $1 billion, if you build a $3 billion stadium, all of those, that takes years and years. The downtown would be part of a bigger development, hopefully. So, yeah, they would like to know by the end of 2024. I just don't know if that'll happen.
Scott Petrak, always great stuff, my man. We really appreciate you moving our time this week. We get back to the regular time next week, and maybe we'll know whether or not we're going to Brazil.
Yeah, well, hopefully we'll know by then.
Scott Petrak at BrownZone.com. Follow him on X at Scott Petrak.